Our podcast begins right now at Best Talk Distribution, made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, president, for more than 20 years, helping people look forward to their retirement years with confidence. Now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Invest Talk. It is January 24th, 2017. Above average investing for the average investor. They say cash is king. Well, I think knowledge is king. So without it, without knowledge, you may not be able to hang on to your cash for very long. You got to have knowledge. We're all about learning here on Invest Talk and then doing something about it. We've talked about the power of emotions and how important controlling your emotion is to become a successful investor. Okay, so you say you think you have your emotions under control. That's great. But what about everybody else? You may have a safe driver. You may be a safe driver, but maybe everybody else is kind of crazy on the road. You got to pay attention to what other people are doing too, not just yourself. Now, you don't have to, and it goes to how long of an investor and trader or what kind of investor and trader you are. So even if you master your own emotions, it is really important to understand the emotions of the market, human emotions and how they push the market. Remember, all markets are traded by humans. So it's the result of all their activity, their fearfulness, their greediness that pushes stocks up and down. Identifying when the market is fearful and when it is greedy can be very difficult, but it's crucial for you to try to do that. For you as an average investor to understand it. It's not impossible. Remember, there's that old saying, short term, the market is emotional, but long term, it is rational. It comes down to the fundamentals long term, earnings, sales, growth. The psychology is can push it around in a short-term period. But if you think about the fundamentals, remember, short-term, the market is emotional, long-term is irrational. If the money is, earnings are there, the sales are there, the growth of sales, the profit margins are there, eventually it will reflect in the stock price. The trick here is it doesn't necessarily have to happen within the same week, month, even sometimes quarters and years. Because people don't recognize how, the fundamentals are, or maybe the fundamentals have improved and it takes them a long time to figure it out. But this emotional short-term thinking gives you, the investor, the average investor, an opportunity. And that means you buy when everybody else is fearful. That's the thing Warren Buffett does. They say Warren Buffett doesn't look at charts or anything, but he kind of still does in a way, because he waits till everybody's fearful, and that means that the stocks are going to be all down, really crushed, and then he buys, he steps in. Well, that's the same thing as looking at a chart and seeing the fear based on where the price has gone from high to low. So it's not that he looks at charts and he doesn't have a charting machine on his desk or anything, but he does have a method of buying fear. And that's what you should do. Develop your own method if you like, but buy fear. Buy fear. Sell greed, buy fear. You be the hunter. Let other investors be your prey. To be the hunter, you have to completely control your own emotions and totally understand the emotions of the market. Okay? Do you have questions about reading the economy or the market? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. We can turn now to our 24-hour listen line. Oh, no, wait a minute. We do have a live call just got on. I like to always take the live callers first. We can always save the people who leave messages for later. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Sean in New York. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm good, Steve. Sean? Thank you for taking my call.
Good. Thanks for calling.
Sure. What do you think about Alibaba?
I like it. For everybody else, I mean, I like it long-term. Alibaba is the Hong Kong-based provider of online and mobile retail marketing places via Taobao.com, Tmall.com and other sites out of Hong Kong. So it's a Chinese Amazon. And that's what most people refer to it. BABA is their symbol. They're making money. They're growing their earnings by 25% quarter after quarter. They're growing their sales by about 40% for the last four quarters in a row. So that's very solid numbers. They're going to make $4.12 next year. It's a $101 stock. So you're not going to be able to get it cheap. Cheap is not going to be in your vocabulary here, okay? You're going to have to pay up for it, and I think you should pay up for it. And it looks like it's tested $87 or $86, somewhere around there, and then bounced off. So, Sean, do you own it or do you want to buy it?
I want to buy it.
Okay, well, it had a really big day, up 3% today. I'd wait for a little pullback and then maybe buy half your position because it's kind of in the middle. It went up to about $108, $109 and stopped a couple few months ago and then came all the way back down to 87. Now it's going back up. So it's kind of in the middle of no man's land. So I'd kind of wait for a little pullback. You probably will have one, and I'd buy it on that pullback, or at least buy your half a position, because you got to get in it somehow, and you can't wait forever.
Sure.
But I'd still wait for a little pullback. Okay, Sean?
What would be a desirable pullback for you?
If it went back and tested the lows it made about a month ago, about $87 a share, that would be ideal. Ideal.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate the call. Hopefully it would hold at $87 and start back up. And that's what I would do before I actually bought it. Wait to see it hold the 87. 888-99-TURRET. 888-992-4278. Give us a call. As interest rates rise, should you turn to preferred stocks? Do you know what a preferred is? Do you know how they work? That's our main talking point today. Also, what is the VIX saying to us? And remember, the VIX, V-I-X, is the fear index. We talked about fear and greed. What is it telling us? And this is an index that kind of, a short-term index, by the way, everybody, that kind of tells us, is there a lot of fear, or there's a lot of greed, or there's just kind of in the middle? So what is it telling us now? Malls. Remember I've been talking about big anchor box stores of malls, and malls are going to change because those box stores are having a hell of a time. Well, what will those anchor stores turn into? Well, there's an article that I read today and suggesting that this is one way they're going to go. So I'm going to talk about that. What are they going to do with those big boxes? And finally, existing home sales came out. Did you see the numbers? Existing home sales. They were a little disappointing. So does that mean that they were disappointed in the housing market? No. See, it is disappointing. The numbers were a little bit disappointing. But you need to figure out why they were disappointing. So we're going to talk about that. Those are going to be what's on the tap. The market was up 112 points on the Dow, 48 points on the NASDAQ, and 15 on the S&P. So far, everybody is liking what they see Trump doing. And I can understand that. He's trying to push through his promises. He's trying to be transparent about that to the public. And the people and the market likes the fact that he's transparent, but they're also still nervous. Remember, you know, they won trade deal he nixed there in the Pacific. Well, you know, there's going to be companies that are going to get hurt by that. How about, you know, as he moves to a protectionist stance, there's going to be reaction by certain stocks in the stock market. It's not going to just go, oh, okay, that's fine. But then on the other hand, he's also reducing taxes and he's also reducing regulations. So that's very bullish for the market. So you got that yin and yang going. That's why I said in my annual letter to the clients, I think 2017 might be more volatile than in 2016, up and down. But I do think it's going to be probably on the positive side for the year. We'll see. Maybe I trust me. I know that I am wrong at times. I know that. The only thing I can tell you is at least I admit it. I admit I was wrong on the interest rate call for a long time. I thought it was as low as it's going to go, and the Fed kept pushing it down and kept pushing it down. And I believe now that I think we may have hit bottom, but you never know. You never know. No one knows. No one. But you can always figure out the probabilities of something. The probability. The possibilities are unlimited, but the probabilities is what you as an investor want to focus on. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Let's make the most of our hour together. I welcome you to share your comments on today's market or anything financial. Tell us about your portfolio or your real estate or whatever it is. As long as it's financial, we'll talk about it. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. Matt in Minneapolis calling. And I have a question for you. I know for reference and getting good data source and stuff, you've mentioned you like MarketSmith quite a bit. And I was wondering, what are your thoughts of Investors Business Daily, IBD? I've gone through their website and looked at their stuff and their commentary and stuff, and they seem to be pretty decent and stuff on a lot of stuff, a lot of market prices and different things. And anyways, I'm just wondering what your thoughts are of that website and their services. Thanks. Have a good one.
Okay, that's a very good question. And what's interesting is you mentioned MarketSmith, which is one of the pieces of software we buy and I use. And I like MarketSmith because it gives you a really nice, quick snapshot of the company. And I use it here on the air. But what really is interesting is IBD, Investors Business Daily, is a newspaper that comes out every day, is the one who developed MarketSmith. Isn't that funny? And then they split it off, and MarketSmith is on its own. But it started with being with Investors Business Daily. So that's where the roots are of MarketSmith. Investors Business Daily is a newspaper I get every day and read every day. So I read the Wall Street Journal and IBD every day, those two. I like them. I like IBD a lot. There are certain rules that they put out that I don't necessarily agree with. One of them is that they have they said, well, you got to put a stop in a stock and it should be 9%, 8 to 10%. I think that's wrong because some stocks are much more volatile than other stocks. I think you have to gear that if you're going to put stops, then you got to gear the stop with how the individual stock operates. For instance, you can't expect Johnson & Johnson to be up and down like and be very volatile or non-volatile in comparison to a very small company that has a huge growth rate. That could go up 10% a day. Johnson & Johnson will never go up 10% a day. See, so I don't think the same stops should be put in for the different types of stocks. That's what I'm saying. But IBD is very good. A very good newspaper, as well as the information they provide on the website is very good. And MarketSmith, if you want to pay, I think it's like $70 a month. I think that's what it is, $70. I don't remember how much it is. But it's a very good fundamental and technical website. They have some charts. Charts are just okay. But the fundamental information is very good. This is InvestTalk, everybody. Remember, we're not all about stocks and bonds. Maybe you're concerned that only one person in the family knows where the money goes. Do you guys share that information if you're a married couple? How do you remedy that? How do you talk to the other members? It's very difficult. I know it is, but you have to do it. So let's talk about that maybe. 888-99-CHART is how you reach me right now. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I just wanted to find out what your take is on Yamada Gold. I was trying to get in at about 3, but it looks like it's starting to move up. And I guess...
Yeah.
Gold in general, as far as do you think it's like headed higher, even higher than it's been the last I'd say week or 10 days or so?
Well, if you're talking about gold, you really are talking about the dollar, right? I mean, it really is the thing that's been pushing gold around. Notice that the dollar has gone down in recent weeks and gold has gone up. And then before that, the dollar has been strong before, you know, after the Trump election. And so the gold has really suffered for the last few months of 2016. So now it's starting to move the other way because dollars is starting to get weak. So that's part of your, you have to kind of watch the dollar and decide where you think that's going to go. My personal feeling is that I think we're going to have another run in gold. I think we're getting it now. How far is this going to run? That's always hard to tell. But I would not be surprised if it goes up at least halfway to about 60% of the fall. And for Yamada, A-U-Y, Yamada is a Canadian gold company. For that, that means that's going to be around $4.25 to $4.50. At least I think it's going to go there. That's what I think.
You think that'll happen before the Fed, if they decide to increase the rates or not? Because don't they have like a meeting coming up fairly shortly?
They do, and I don't think they're going to do anything at that meeting. I don't think they're going to do anything for at least a couple of meetings. So I think it will go back up before they decide to raise rates. There's a question mark. Remember, they only raised rates once in the last 2 years. They say they're going to raise rates three times this year. But they said they were going to raise rate four times last year and only did it once. I think they're going to at least raise it one more time at the very minimum, maybe two times this year. I'm going to say that, but I don't think they're going to do anything really fast. I don't. So I do think. Okay. All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. AUY was the symbol of the stock. It's a mining. The fundamentals don't look that great. I mean, they are turning around. Them losing 8 cents a share in 2015 to making 8 cents a share this year. So, but 8 cents a share, it's a $3.33. That's still not, that's pretty expensive. So you have to be watching where do you think gold prices are. If gold prices go up somewhat, gold stock, mining stocks go up faster. It's just the nature of the beast. Preferreds. You know what preferred stock is? Should you be investing in preferred stock? As interest rates rise, well, what is a preferred? It's a preferred stock is preferred on two counts. It's preferred on two accounts. First, in the capital structure of the company, it's senior to the common stock. Meaning to translate that means if something bad happens with the company, the preferred gets paid before the common stocks get paid. So, but not before the bondholders, debt holders. The other way is different than a stock. It has a priority in dividends. They get paid before any dividends are paid out for the common stocks. So a preferred is kind of a bond type of investments. There's differences, obviously, but you know, it's pretty much, if you buy a preferred stock, it is always with a yield, a dividend yield, and it always is stated what it will be, like a bond. And the price of the preferred can fluctuate with the price of the stock, because it is a preferred stock. So the yield is what you're buying it for. You're not buying it because it doesn't move up, it doesn't move down, it usually very drastically. It just pays that dividend, and usually it's higher. So it's just another way to try to garner income with a little bit less risk than a common stock. And, if interest rates go up, a little less risk than the bonds as well, than buying a bond if interest rates rise. Anyways, I like preferreds, but you still have to understand, if you buy a preferred, you have to understand the fundamentals of the company. Make sure they are able to pay that preferred. Okay, that's important. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, here's an interesting term you should know. How about the term ex-dividend? Ex-dividend, I'm sure you heard me use it. Ex-dividend. It's a classification of trading shares when a declared dividend belongs to the seller rather than the buyer. A stock will be given ex-dividend status if a person has been confirmed by the company to receive the dividend payment. So you have to own the stock by the ex-dividend date. Well, you have to own the stock. You have to own it, okay, by that date. The stock trades ex-dividend on or after ex-dividend date. At this point, the person who owns the security on the ex-dividend date will be awarded the payment of the dividend, regardless of who currently holds the stock. So if I go ex-dividend date, if the company says will be 3 days from now, as long as you own the stock by that day, you can buy it tomorrow, and then you get the dividend. The person who sold it does not. Ex-dividend date. You can see the definition at Investopedia.com, by the way. We're heading into part two of our Tuesday Invest Talk. Plenty of time to get your question in. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART. We're live 4 to 5 every day.
Our podcast continues today, and we appreciate you being here. Good reason number four for getting together with Steve for a portfolio checkup.
One of the things I don't think enough people are considering are dividends.
Dividends. They can be the hidden value in a stock. The question is, how can I maximize my return and not be fooled by dividend-paying stocks with no future?
Don't have to be stocks. They could be oil trusts. They could be master limited partners. It could be REITs. At some point, you have to say, you know what? I need to earn a little bit more money.
Steve can help you reorganize your retirement portfolio. And if you'd like, a KPP financial program that fits your goals and life situations today. To schedule your one-to-one, one-hour checkup with Steve via Skype or telephone or in person in California, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review. Or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. It can be difficult saving for retirement with bills and other priorities soaking up your earnings, but now you can get ahead. You can plan to retire rich. That's one of our talking points next time. But right now, it's up to you to set the topic. Check in at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Zachary in Tulsa. Now, I listen to your podcast all the time, and I've heard you say that when a sector or a stock has a bad year this year, that maybe next year it'll have a good year. So I was wondering what you thought about healthcare. Thought about maybe buying an ETF specializing in healthcare. Wondering if you think it's going to have a good year next year since it had a bad one in 2016, and if maybe you have any health care for your clients. You guys do a whole lot for us. I appreciate it. Thank you.
The only problem I have with health care is that you have issues with what Trump is going to do with Obamacare. You know there's going to be some major changes, and that's one of the reasons why healthcare didn't do well last year because of changes. And, you know, stocks and stock market, and they don't like changes because they can't. They have to now change the way they analyze the whole sector and the stocks. So it depends on where you go in healthcare. For instance, you know, Trump complained about the high price of drugs. So you better be careful on that drug industry, you know, the primary drugs that are coming out of the top line drug companies. But maybe, you know, generic drugs might look good, drug companies. So when you, I don't know if I'd buy an ETF of the whole healthcare sector because we just don't know where it's going to go. We don't know what the changes are going to be. But if you think about it, the changes that they're probably going to push be more about free market changes. Well, that, believe it or not, the healthcare industry may not like that because they have to compete. Therefore, it may be hurt their bottom line. Could hurt the bottom line as far as profits. So I don't know if you want to be in the big healthcare companies like, you know, that provide medical insurance. I don't know if I want to be there, because there's probably going to be more competition. And that might be a problem. But they don't know what it's going to look like also. So I think you might be a bit early yet for me. Should you buy individual healthcare stocks? Yeah, I could see a few that you could, you know, that have been beaten up that shouldn't be too affected by whatever they do. I kind of like that aspect because they were very, very inexpensive. So I think I would prefer you not to buy the whole sector, but buy individual stocks in that sector. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I was hoping you'd take a look at FCX and give me your opinion, please.
That's Freeport-McMoRan, engaged in exploration, development of gold and silver and other minerals in Indonesia, North and South America. They've had a pretty decent run. It looks like it's breaking up to a new high, a new 52-week high at least. That's what it looks like, coming off the bottom. They're going to make, see, that the reason being is they're going to make, they lost 13 cents in 2015, 13 cents a share. 2016, they're going to make 31 cents, so it's a nice change. Still haven't come in with the final figures yet, but that's what they're geared to make. The estimate is 31 cents. But next year, they're going to make $1.44 per share. That's a huge jump. And sales have increased in the most recent quarter. We're going to get the fourth quarter numbers here shortly. And I think what you're seeing is it's a turnaround. If I think I'd be a buyer. It looks like it's breaking out to me, and it looks like it broke out today. You might get a pullback tomorrow, the next day, but I think you want to be a buyer of this area because I think gold has another run up, and this is one of the bigger, safer bets on that in that industry, in the gold mining industry, FCX. Okay, Mike?
Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, it's done. You know, you got to be, might have to be patient. You got to hope for the dollar to weaken. And I think Trump talked about he wants a weaker dollar, right? I don't know how he's going to get it, but he would like it because that makes our products more competitive. Looking at my calendar, by the way, I will be in San Ramon a week from today, January 31st, for individual retirement reviews for a limited number of our listeners. Then I'll be in San Jose on February 8th. San Jose on February 8th. And, of course, I make time to meet with listeners through Skype or telephone if you'd rather do that. That's fine, too. Now, if you'd like to set up a time with me on those dates, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, then Portfolio Review.
Did you know you can listen to this Invest Talk again? Whenever you get a chance, maybe you missed part of it or you want to hear an answer again to get it more clear, it's easy to do. Just go to investtalk.com and look for the Talking Point headline and then scroll across to the episode that you'd like to listen to. There are five of the most recent days. There also is an archive on the site to give you access to 10 of the most recent Invest Talks. We're always there for you.
So what is the VIX volatility index saying to us? What is it trying to tell us? It's the fear gauge, right? It's commonly known as the fear gauge. You know, the relationships between puts and calls kind of tells you if there's a lot of fear in the market or there's no fear. And it's very, very low right now. Okay. It's at 11.4, down 2% for the day from yesterday. And the long-term average is 20. And it rarely goes below 10. The lower it goes, it means the less fear there is in the market. And if you look at a chart of this gauge, you'll see spikes every so often. And those spikes are where fear comes in. Now, so we're at a very low point. Can it go lower? Of course, it can go below 10. But being it's at 11, I think it closed today at 11.07. I think that's where the close was today. And that was a low of the day. So what I'm telling you is we're at a very, very low point. There's hardly any fear in the market. Whenever that gets to that point, you have to be a contrarian to say, okay, it's not going to stay there. I don't know. It can stay. It's not going to stay there, but it can stay there for a while. And when I say a while, month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, can it stay there for a year? I've never seen it stay there for a year. I guess it's possible. I've never seen it. Now, the S&P is also, try to remember, is trading at 17 times 2017 earnings. And that's kind of expensive. But it's not super expensive. It's not like extendedly frightening over expensive. It's just expensive. So with the fear gauge this low and the market kind of overpriced, the only thing that will save it is surprises on the upside of earnings for corporate America. They have to, the market participants have to believe that they're going to make, the companies in the market are going to make a lot more money next quarter and the quarter after that, and the quarter after that. They have to believe that to keep prices where they are today. And they may believe that. Remember, market participants are emotional. They could stay that way. Now, I don't believe it will, because there's always something that will come along that will spike the fear gauge and the market will fall. But I think you have to be in the market. But I would be a buyer on any correction. That's the best I can tell you. How deep a correction would be, I don't know. Any correction, I start to be a buyer. Let's go to Doris in San Francisco. How you doing, Doris?
If you'd like to make a call.
Doris, did we lose you? Sounds like we lost her. Okay, she wanted to talk about Johnson & Johnson. So call back. Let's go ahead and take another voicemail.
Hi, guys. I'm calling in with a question on Disney. D-I-S. I am currently have shares in the stock and wanted to see what your thoughts and opinions are on whether to continue to hold and how you think the stock will do in the year. Thank you for your thoughts, and I'll be listening to your show.
Okay, well, Disney's done very well from moving up from like $90 a share in October, November to $107.90 today. It might have gotten a little ahead of itself. It's going to make $5.91 this year. That's up 3% last year. And then up to $6.66 next year. That's 13% more. Disney problem is ESPN. Every other revenue generator part of Disney is doing fine. Movies, theme parks. But the ESPN that they own isn't doing so hot. Got problems there. So that's what kind of held it back last year. And, you know, if you wanted to take profits, this is where you would take profits. Okay, at this point. Because it's a little expensive at this point for Disney. Remember, it's not a big grower. Usually it grows sales, you know, between 3 and 10% a quarter. Most recent quarter, September, it was down 3%. Quarter before that, it was up 9%. So, and it only pays a 1.4% dividend, so it's not, you know, like, well, I'll hold it for the dividend. It's not that great of a dividend. But it has a really good return on equity of 21%. Don't have that much debt. It's a very solid company. You can hold it forever and just ignore the wiggles and waggles. But if you want to be sharper than that, you want to trade it somewhat, this is kind of where you would take some profit, because it's having trouble getting above $109 or so, $108.50. It's having trouble with that area in the market. DIS is a symbol for Disney, everybody. But I like the company. I think it's a good, strong company. 888-99-CHART. Okay, how about the malls? Remember, I've been talking about big box stores are suffering, and I think that there are going to be even worse problems ahead for them, and that the malls that have the big box stores as their anchors, you know how they are at the ends of the malls, that's going to change. Malls are going to change. And I mentioned, you know, some possibilities. Maybe they'll do, maybe they have car sales in the malls, which is like Tesla. Maybe they'll have, you know, entertainment in there. And maybe restaurants. Well, there's a new mall going up in Texas, and the new thing is going to maybe be food halls, not the what we've experienced with the fast food little stalls and you go up and order, but more of a restaurant, mini restaurant kind of concept with high quality boutique restaurants, casual dining with a limited menu, but high quality boutique kind of restaurants. And that the Plano, Texas, there's one that 55,000 square feet, and they have 20 artisan food stalls, they're calling them. They have a brewery in there and a stage for entertainment. So you could start already see that they're starting to metamorphose these malls into something that's a little different. And I think that's going to continue to be the case. It's not going to be a mall that you're just familiar with. It's going to be more of an entertainment destination place, entertainment place. And it could be restaurants. It's going to be a combination of restaurants, entertainment, music, maybe. And then maybe some kind of rides for the kids during the day or the weekends. It's just going to be different. And not going to be the big boxes, but maybe more boutique kind of stores too. Specialty stores. Just think it's going to change. I'm not an expert of what it's going to change to, but it's going to change. Let's go to Randy in Fremont. How you doing, Randy?
Doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I had a question on LHO, LaSalle Hotels, and I also had another question. My 10-year-old son wanted to open up an UGMA account and see if you had any recommendations. Sort of a fun recommendation. He's only got $2,500 to invest, but something for a 10-year-old.
Okay, UTMA is a Uniform Transfer Gift to Minors Act, where you as the parent control it, but as soon as he turns 18, it's really technically his account, not yours. If you have 25, he probably should stick with, it's not as exciting. If he really wants to be exciting, you can talk to him about, what kind of companies does he like? And what kind of toys does he buy? What kind of movies does he like to see? Disney makes a lot of the movies, and maybe, Spider-Man and Batman, all those kinds. If you want him to give excitement, if you want to just try to make money, I would use ETFs. And I would probably use pretty much more aggressive ETFs, like the Qs, QQQ. Or the S&P 500, SPY is fine. But I would probably use the Qs because there's a lot more growth there. And it's a lot more exciting. It also goes down faster, but it also goes up faster. Now, LHO, LaSalle Hotel Properties, that's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, that invests in upscale luxury full-service hotels consisting of 47 properties in 17 states. It's going to make $2.78 next year. It's going to make $2.90 this year. So it's actually going to lose a little bit of money. Not lose, but its earnings are going to go down. And it's a fairly inexpensive stock. I think your dividend is pretty solid. I don't think that is a problem. Okay. They don't have much debt for a REIT. So it looks like a pretty decent REIT, Randy. I kind of like it.
What about for the long term?
Long term, it'll be fine. They should, as long as management is doing what they're doing right now, it will be fine. It will be a good investment long term. Okay? You're listening to InvestTalk. The invitation is always open, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 888-99-CHART is our number. Why not check in now?
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Raul from Flower Mound. I was calling to ask about a specific sector. I was selling some positions on one of the big box stores and was going to invest some of it in pharmaceuticals, specifically Teva, T-E-V-A. And the other one that I had the question, actually the one I have the most question about, is it time to get into the financial sector and specifically Citigroup? C is the ticker. Thank you very much and appreciate all your insights. Thank you.
Okay, so let's talk about the financial sector. Let's talk about Citigroup. As I said before Trump was elected, I was not a fan of big banks because of all the rules and regulations, which was restricting their ability to make money. Trump has promised to reduce some of that. That's going to be beneficial to big banks, and you'll notice that the big banks rallied as soon as he was elected. Now, Citigroup in particular fell about 8-9% from its top in recent weeks. And it might be the opportunity we're looking to get into something. So I'm going to say, yes, I would think it'd be time to get into the big banks, and Citigroup is one of them, symbol C. They're going to make $5.18 this year and $5.90 next year. And it's a $56 stock. So that's going to be less than 10 PE based on next year's earnings. And sales are still a little weak, which makes me a bit nervous. But I think we've seen the end of the financial bank cycle. In other words, the weak cycle of financials last year. I think that was the bottom we saw last year. So now I think it's a time to start considering them. Yes. Citigroup only pays 1.1%. So you want to buy it right. It would be nice to have a bigger pullback, but I would enter maybe a position here at this price in the range that it is. See if it holds up the next few days. I would buy my first position. I'd wait a few days, but I don't think it's going to run away from you. And if it gets down to around $48, $49, maybe $50, somewhere in there, I'd buy more. That would be ideal, in the high 40s, low 50s. It's right at 56 now, so it's pretty close. And the reason why I'm even saying buying a position maybe now is because that's an 8-9% correction is a decent correction. And, from a pretty strong move up. So maybe it's a possibility. Okay. 888-99-CHARGE is our number. 888-992-4278. The existing home sales today. This was for the last month, December, of the year. For all of 2016, by the way, the 16 home sales was up 4% year over year. So sales were up. Not huge, but up. December was a little disappointing. It was down 2.8% from November. But why? Well, because there wasn't very much inventory. That was the main reason. There was 165 million houses in the inventory, and it hasn't been that low since 1999. That's only 3.6 months worth of current inventory. In other words, at the sales rate today, 3.6 months, they would run out. That's very low. And that's kind of how you determine inventory, by the way. How many months at current sales rate is left? Anything under 4 is pretty darn low. So that's what you do. And median prices are not going down. And that is one of the problems. Besides a low inventory, it's very difficult to get the first-time buyers in. They only represent about 33-34% of the for buyer's market when they normally should be closer to 40%. So the median price out there is $232,200. Pretty high. So it's a good housing market. Not a great one, but it's good and it's still fairly strong. And what can hurt it is maybe higher interest rates, mortgage rates that have gone up in recent times because of the Trump presidency and the Federal Reserve raising rates. So the rates have gone up in anticipation of those rates. So there's where your issues are. Okay, it still is a good housing market. The builders are still pretty positive, even though they were down a little bit. Their optimism was down a little bit, probably because of higher rates and mortgage rates. Anyway, still a good housing market. Our time is up for the hour, everybody. Here's an idea to help focus your future and get you in sync with your spouse. Sit down and talk about where you want to be in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years. Sit down with your spouse and determine how much money you want to have, how much wealth you want to have in those time increments. And you can compromise. You want to agree. You want to have the goal for both of you. So do that. Plan it out. Then figure out exactly how you're going to achieve it. Something to think about. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. On behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, thank you for being with us today. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.